Okay. Today we have a special evening. Right? Read. So we're going to read selected excerpts for Unity Evening, connecting to one group. What we attain in the group, overcoming difficulties in the group.
Very important things, because in them we discover the upper world and the Creator. We mustn't slight it, because it's a disaster if a person relates to it in even the slightest disrespect or even indifference. Let's hope that in the evening everyone will come, those who can, come physically, and if not, to connect. And in this way we will advance.
Part number one, from 600,000 souls, Bala Sulam. There is indeed only one soul in the world. The same soul exists in all the children of Israel, complete in each and every one, as Adam HaRishon. Since the spiritual is indivisible and cannot be cut, which is rather a trait of corporeal things. Yet saying that there are 600,000 souls and sparks of souls appears as though it is divided by the force of the body of each person. In other words, first the body divides and completely denies him of the radiance of the soul. And by the force of the Torah and mitzvah, the body is cleansed. And to the extent of its cleansing, the common soul shines upon him. The sign for the body's complete creation is when one feels that the soul exists in the whole of Israel, in each and every one of them, for which he does not feel himself as an individual. For one depends on the other. At that time, he is complete, flawless, and the soul truly shines on him in its fullest power, as it appeared in Adam HaRishon. Number two, from the article, The Purpose of Society, 1, by Rabash. We gather here to establish a society where each of us follows the spirit of bestowing upon the Creator. And to achieve bestowal upon the Creator, we must begin with bestowal upon man, which is called love of others. And the love of others can only be through revoking of oneself. Thus, on the one hand, each person should feel lowly, and on the other hand, be proud that the Creator has given us the change to be in society, where each of us has but a single goal, for the Shekhinah to be among us.
Sheila, listen. A workshop question. How do I use the power of lowliness on one hand, and how do I use the power of pride on the other hand, in order to find the right connection in the ten? Read it again.
Again, part number two. We gather here to establish a society where each of us follows the spirit of bestowing upon the Creator. And to achieve bestowal upon the Creator, we must begin with bestowal upon man, which is called love of others. And love of others can only be through revoking of oneself. Thus, on the one hand, each person should feel lowly, and on the other hand, be proud that the Creator has given us the chance to be in a society where each of us has but a single goal, for the Shekhinah to be among us.
How do we work with the power of lowliness and the power of pride so they collide but act toward attaining this single goal, the right connection between us? Go ahead. Lowliness and pride, how do they work together?
We have to relate everything to the ten and not to yourself. Then the lowliness towards the friends, that they are truly the greatest, and be proud in them that the Creator chose them to implement the realization of creation through them, but not to think of yourself, only the friends.
The fact that the Creator gave me the privilege of sitting with such people with such thoughts, to engage in Him and in achieving Him, a person has to feel great pride about this, and he has to act it out toward the friends. Yeah, and he has to act it out because they're really great, and he wants to serve them because he knows through them he will get to the Creator.
Yeah, there's many things to feel low towards, that the Creator organized everything, the friends that are, that the Creator is truly working through them, the Rav, everything that we receive, it's all really given in an amazing way. And when a person is just in awe, just sees all this, and he's just in fear. On the other hand, it's a lot of pride that we have the privilege to do this and to give something back to the Creator for everything He gave you.
Yeah, and because the friends are so great and important in my eyes, I feel great pride that I was rewarded with serving them, that I was brought to be among such righteous and given a chance to work for them.
Pride, maybe we can exchange it with the name of greatness and importance of the goal. On the other hand, the lowness, the annulment, that through it we can integrate more, connect more, feel the center of the group, the center of the connection more between us, and through this implement the importance of the connection.
What? Pride and lowliness. Right. So lowliness is with respect to the will to receive. We lower the importance of the will to receive, and the pride is with respect to the point in the heart. This is what we're proud of. This is what we value.
Yesterday I was in a spontaneous Yeshivat Chavarim, and there you could see that when you see how great and devoted the friends are, how they're concerned about one another, that you can't be in this place, how low you are compared to that force, and also great pride and confidence that you're part of them. It's gratitude that constantly strokes you. So maybe the two states are there through the friends.
Right. You can see it as our common pride, so to speak, that we were chosen to lead in this kind of in this watch of humanity, on this shift. We were chosen to lead the world in lowliness toward the greatness of the Creator that's being revealed through the friends, because what's revealed through the friends, how each word, everything they do, is nothing less than the greatness of the Creator. There is no other logic to it. It doesn't make sense otherwise. By nature, no one would be here. So only the greatness of the Creator is revealed here through the friends.
Even person with his own pride towards himself, by forcing himself to come and to give, and that he feels he has a goal, a purpose to do something, that's something that pushes him ahead. And through this work, he discovers that the work itself is annulment towards the friends, in giving them place to work, to pray for them. So the gap between those two feelings is a place of work. Going to part number three. Purpose of Society 2 by Rabash.
We need a society that all will be a great force so we can work together to annul the will to receive, which is called bad, because it prevents from achieving the goal for which man was created. Therefore, society must consist of individuals who all agree that we have to achieve it. Then, from all the individuals, one big force is made that can fight with itself, because each one is included in everyone else. It turns out that each one is based on a big desire that he wants to achieve the goal.
How can we scrutinize that everything that is called bad is what's preventing us to reach a goal? How can we scrutinize that, or filter, or what else can I say? Locate maybe such desires that are disturbing us from reaching the goal. Only they are called evil. The rest, no. The rest still doesn't belong to the spiritual path. It's on a corporeal level. And then good and bad, I don't know. And we're not speaking towards them. So where do I find desires to receive that resist attaining the goal? And how do I determine that that is evil? And what do I do according to that? I can't just uproot it. It's something above me. Please.
The desire to speak not from the intellect but from the center of the ten, from the connection with you, it's this reference point where, you know, it's whether the ego wants to give a direction or you turn to the Creator and ask to be given this connection. You can feel not turning to the Creator as bad and something wrong compared to what He gave us.
The more efforts we make now to feel that we're together, that we're in a mutual desire asking the Creator for help, to that extent we'll feel exactly what's preventing us and what's stopping us, that inner enemy, mutual inner enemy.
Right, we've gathered for the purpose of building a kli between us that can reveal the light or the Creator. And everything that hinders or doesn't let us connect and build this kli can be called something above which we have to overcome or ask for help.
Yeah, Rav said before to Tehran that if somebody comes to the lesson in that way, so it doesn't really mean that he has more of a reward than somebody comes with efforts with those last forces. So maybe the measurement is the extent somebody exerted, how much opportunities we have to exert and put efforts.
Right, and we also mark the good, and the good is the connection between us. It's the mutual prayer. So when we try to all be in this place, everything that interferes with it, we can mark it as bad, and from there turn to the Creator to help us.
Rav, how do we perform actions and efforts in order to discover them, those same desires that prevent us from reaching the goal? How do I say this? How do we separate them? How do we work towards them? Please.
Right.
We do it ourselves, right? We want to scrutinize on the path to the goal what's preventing us, disturbing us, how to take care of it. Please.
These desires help us better define every moment the goal. We can find it everywhere. The goal in general is to achieve the good with the Creator out of the connection between us, out of the relationship between us, out of the center of the ten. But that's general. Now what do we have to do for it? We have to keep the framework, we have to come to the morning and listen. We have to think about the friends. You start, you know, detailing this. So the more defined is the goal, the more you see what's hindering it. If it's only to get up to the morning lesson, then you move aside everything that stops you from getting ready to do the preparation, and you go to sleep early. If it's at the lesson, to think about the friends, or not just at the lesson, but all the time. So it becomes clear what interferes with the goal. So all the interferences help us make the goal more precise every moment. Exit number 4 from the writings of Rabash, make for yourself a rabbi, by yourself a friend, 2. Those people agreed to unite into one group, to engage in love of friends, it is because each of them feels that they have one desire that can unite all their views so they receive the power of love of others. Because we know the words of our sages who said, as their faces are not similar to one another, so their views are not similar to one another. Therefore, those people who agreed to unite in one group understood that there was no great distance between them in their views, because they understood the necessity of working in love of others. Therefore, each of them could make concessions in favor of others, and over this, they could unite. We don't have a computer here, so we're sorry, because we're translating simultaneously here.
When we discover that the connection between us is more important than the separation between us, so how can we annul the separation in order to reach the connection, the unity? What should we do? What actions do we do so the unity will be preferred than the separation? And specifically through that action we can advance. Meaning, always in every degree we'll have a greater separation, and above it, a greater unity. And in this way we'll ascend, that the greater separation is the aviyut, the coarseness that will be revealed on that degree, and the connection between us will be revealed as the purity, the zakut of that degree. So how can we do that? Maybe read it again. Part number 4. Those who agreed among them to unite into a group, to engage in love of friends, understood that there isn't such a distance between them that can unite all their opinions to one and to receive the love of friends.
As our sages said, as their faces are not similar, so their views are not similar. Therefore, those people who agreed to unite in one group understood that there wasn't such a great distance between them in their views, in the sense that they understand the necessity of work in love of others. Therefore, each one will be able to make concessions in favor of others, and over this, they'll be able to unite.
How can we connect upon the force of separation between us and sustain ourselves like that? How can we describe to ourselves that the next degree is that all of our desires are connected together? Now it's 10 separate. On the next degree, it'll be one desire. How can we describe that next degree? See it as the goal, as what, something desired. That the connection between us will always be preferred over this separation that's being revealed. And it doesn't matter what's going to be revealed. It's not important. We pay attention only on how to connect above it and not what's happening between us. That's the Creator. What he does there, it's... How can we actually see that the next degree is higher and we're all is 1 point from 10 points? Please.
I've pretty much answered it. On one hand, you have all the viewed, the thickness that's revealed between us. Every person has many desires, but we want to distinguish the point at the heart, that love of friends, as you wrote in the excerpt, to separate it from the rest of the desires. And in this common desire, which is what connects all of us, in it to unite. So it turns out that on the level of the will to receive in all the desires, we are very separate. We may not even feel like we belong to one another, but at this point, which is the point in the heart, there is the point of our connection, and if there we make every effort and all the labor, there the new degree will appear.
Every time we come to that feast on the king's palace, and we got an order on how to sit, how to pray before the meal. We know that there's a contradiction, and that's where everything is. But when we come to it, we don't have such a desire. We have a resistance. And here, Kabbalists gave us a way to come to it, how to prepare ourselves. We must prepare and aim who you're receiving from, in order for us to appreciate what we get, and we can ask for it and give gratitude for it. There has to be a preparation as a society who we're working in front of.
Yeah, exactly. We have to appreciate their treatment that the Creator has given us. We have to be grateful that we are even discussing these terms, that I can even hear. The friends are talking about this greatness. While you speak, I try to pray that the Creator will come here and connect our hearts. I know I can't be the owner of my own heart, but I can ask for you. So if we all ask for one another now, we'll be rewarded with the reforming light being revealed here.
The effort is to constantly come out of myself more and integrate with the friends, to try and work in this area called the center of the ten. And dealing with myself, I don't need time for that. Just have to jump to the center of the ten. And every disturbance and every opportunity is just to jump inside. And from there, try and strengthen the connection.
Excerpt number 5 from the writings of Rabash in the article concerning love of friends. We must remember that society was established on the basis of love of others, meaning that each and every one will receive from the society love of others and hatred of himself. By seeing that his friend exerts to annul his self and to love others, it causes each one to be included in his friend's intention. It turns out that if the society is based, for example, on 10 friends, then each one will be included with or included in 10 forces engaged in annulling their selves and hatred of themselves and love of others. Again, we must remember that society was based on the basis of love of others, meaning that each and every one will receive from the society love of himself and hatred, love of others and hatred of himself, by seeing that his friend tries to annul his self and love others. It causes each one to be included with his friend's intention. It turns out that if society is based, for example, on 10 friends, then each one will be included with 10 forces engaged in annulling their selves and hatred of themselves and love of others.
There's two forces, like we said yesterday, in working in society. It's love of the others, greatness of society, its uniqueness, and the lowliness of himself, hate to himself. Those two forces, the greater the gap between them is, the more a person advances. How can I come even to a random 10 that changes from one day to the next, but it's an opportunity given to me, and by this I want to learn how to not miss out on this opportunity? How do I learn that if I'm not integrated in them, as he writes here, and I don't invest in them, so I lose the opportunity to advance? I must be in them, the force that awakens, the force that advances, the force that of confidence. So that society depends on me. One, that from the 10 that don't keep their role, the 10 isn't called a 10. So how do I take responsibility that here I really just, that I'm disregarding and building a vessel that can bring joy to the Creator? How, in my attitude to the friends, do I feel that I'm either responsible or disregarding in giving an opportunity to the Creator to rejoice, to reveal Himself? Please.
It's a very deep question. Today we came to the lesson, and Gilad and I saw that on our table about 14 friends were missing, and I'm still not sure what to do with it because I have the names. And now that Rav is asking, it's even more so. This level of responsibility, this quality of responsibility, is something that can really help society, to help each of the friends to carve it in his heart that it's all up to him and it's his responsibility. He is accountable to the Creator for his attitude toward the friends. Mm-hmm.
I agree. I don't know, it's a lot of contemplating. I don't know what we're expected to do, but for one thing is sure, we constantly have to be in a concern and anxiety, and we can always find reasons for the friends. If it's somebody that didn't come, if it's somebody that did come, so we'll be concentrated, everything to make sure that the sacred society will perform its task to what it's supposed to do. And obviously, if we forget, so we have to be prepared that the next time we won't forget to ask for help. Because in the end, the light brings us the ability to constantly concentrate on the friends and be concerned about them.
On one hand, I have to do everything I can in order to care for the friends physically, for the people I see as friends, for their bodies, so that their bodies will be sitting here. On one hand. On the other hand, we have to remember that every situation that's revealed is revealed to me in my corrupted kelim and through the Creator who is running things around here. So we need to feel all the concern in the world and the responsibility for everyone, and yet understand that it is me seeing the corruptions. So it'll increase the sensation of loneliness on one hand and the greatness of friends on the other hand.
Yeah, the more you sit here and you see on the screens, you see this great vessel we have, it gives a lot of awe that what are you bringing to this? To constantly be in a request, I think that's our work, to constantly remind each other to be in a request, that we won't be busy with ourselves but with the Kli and giving the Creator that place. As Yigal said before, if we are concerned outside of us, so we can ask for something we don't have in us, because we're always concerned about ourselves.
Right. And as a summary of the day, maybe of our lives, we should ask ourselves, did we meet the expectations that the friends had for us? How am I supposed to behave and how am I supposed to work toward them? And this is the deepest introspection I need to do. And if I committed to a certain intent, it means I committed to the Creator, toward the whole system. And if I'm not given my utmost, then I'm betraying them. So I have to draw forces from the general Kli and do the utmost to give spirit and greatness to the friends I'm sitting with.
Because we come from the shattering, so what Rav just described won't come naturally. We have to make efforts that a person will come out of himself to a new place, that if we're truly succeeding in being there, so everything is clarified towards that, towards a new vessel we're building between us in order to give contentment to the Creator. And then everything, if we each one can hold the others and be in it, so everything that will happen, everything that comes, will be in a scrutiny towards that. And then I guess states will come that will make us go above ourselves towards that. But it's a point that we should hold on to, because it scrutinizes all of reality towards something which is very precise.
Right, and that scrutiny, which is that I'm either responsible or disrespectful, it forces you to see where you are. And engagement in this scrutiny doesn't allow you to be in an illusion that, fine, I'm not. Exit number 8 from the writings of Rabash concerning love of friends.
One must disclose the love he has in his heart towards the friends, since by revealing it, he evokes his friends' hearts towards the friends, so they too would feel that each of them is practicing love of friends. The benefit from that is, in this manner, one gains strength to practice love of friends more forcefully, since every person's force of love is integrated in each other's.
In other words, if I want to increase my power of bestowal, I have to bestow upon others, upon the friends, as much as possible, and then it comes back to me several times more than I've invested. From where does this calculation come? Why does it happen? Why, from bestowing upon the friends, by showing them connection, love, my leaning toward them, it excites me several times more than what I awaken in them. Go ahead.
Because the friends is me. That's the form the Creator is showing me how to connect with Him. It's the parts of my soul, and it's an opportunity to awaken myself, because we're all one. I'm awakening the general body.
Yep, it's a natural phenomenon. You invest in something, you want it to work, it becomes yours, you start feeling it. It begins with working with metal or something. You begin to work on it. The minute you work on it, you start feeling it. Give a mother an adopted child, and she will love it at some point more than her own biological child. So we have a child, we have to constantly, a common child. The 10 is our common child, you mustn't leave it for a moment. And it's our responsibility, the responsibility of each of us.
Our responsibility towards everyone is to build this mutual connection between us, because specifically by doing that, there's equivalence of form with the Creator. That's called the quality of bestowal. When a person comes out of himself and makes an action in equivalence of form, and through that you can feel the Creator. By wanting to resemble Him, to create a vessel that He can be revealed, we want to get close to His qualities, so we're already... We have to aspire to change and not what's on the outside.
The question is, how am I ignited? Which kind of force do I get? Is it an egoistic force based on the will to receive, or perhaps I get a strength that enables me to allow myself be above reason towards the friends?
Right. There's a way to think about what is a profit I'm going to get from my investment. Then it's an egoistic calculation. I'll invest more, I'll receive more. I think that there is a transition here to a different phase, where the investment, the bestowal itself, is the profit, not the reward that I'm seemingly expecting to receive.
Yeah, that's true. The 10 is an amplifier, and when you invest in it a little bit, then immediately the friends receive an awakening from that, and that determines the whole system. The whole system comes closer to bestowal. And if that's the case, I'm also a part of it. I also come closer to bestowal. As Eagle said, it's not that there's some benefit to it. Rather, I become a greater bestower. The society is a platform that the Creator created for men in order to reveal Him, to come closer to Him by revealing His present attitude and by the point of heart, leading Him, showing Him what the right attitude is, and that's it. And this is how a person learns how to bestow. This is his profit.
Rav, how do we use the rejection, hatred, the awakening, the evil a little bit, in order to increase the love and connection? anyone knows how to use it in a family. How do we use it in the group, in the ten? In order to rise to a higher degree of love, how do we scrutinize the darkness? What's happening with you? That's it? Men.
This is exactly the artistry. There is no one solution. It means that we constantly should be alert.
Rav, how do we use the two reins? Just like that. In order to play with the two, but in order to constantly climb up the degrees of love.
We constantly need to be alert towards the set of the ten, the group, as we perceive it in our senses. Obviously, we don't live in illusions. As we see everyone from his perception of the world, the way he sees the ten, the friends, when he sees separation, you have to work on connection. That's it. If you see wholeness, or if you feel too comfortable, then you add some stimulation in order to increase the love. But there are no words to describe it. This is the kind of artistry that we need to acquire. And all these games, fixed tens, temporary tens, random tens, it's in order to increase this artistry above all the states and all the faces that we see in front of us.
It's beautiful. By nature, we want to be loved and we want to feel comfortable with ourselves. So every state where we feel the state and we feel good in relation to the spiritual development, then there's no development, there's no advancement, there's a total stop. And specifically here, more desire to receive has to be revealed. And on the other hand, as Rav said, we know it from the family, from relationships. Oftentimes there's this flirt, there's a game that you add a little bit of the left to increase the love, to rise to a higher degree. And just like in life, we have to be careful when you play with fire, not to give it too much room, because that can ultimately invert, not in your favor. Rav, what is the difference between when the evil, the bad, is revealed from above, or and when it's revealed by us? Please.
The evil that is revealed by us should be from the will to bestow, and from above I feel pain in the will to receive, until I will be brought from above to a pain from the lack of the will to bestow. Then it's a whole spin. So this is why we have to keep awakening each other. The will to bestow, the will, this pain should come from the friend, from the greatness of the goal that the friends place before you. And then, as a result, you see how far you are from this, and then the society should grieve you the greatness of the goal, and correspondingly you see how detached you are, how much you are engaged with yourself, that you are so loathsome, and then you will get the appropriate suffering because from lack of bestowal.
I'm not sure I know what is the evil that's revealed by us. I only know that we have to invest in increasing the greatness, the importance of the friends. And on the other hand, I have to make the calculation with myself. When the Creator has given me an opportunity to choose between going to a warm, comfortable place versus a place with a great resistance. And so when I put myself in a place of resistance, there I can gain the ability to be above reason, and we can use the resistance, the evil, to strengthen the love.
It seems to me that the evil that comes from above is like a whip that hits the beast so it will advance. And when we do it, it's like reins. We hold the two states in our hands.
It's a path of Torah and path of suffering. If it comes from above, it also comes to advance us, but it's seemingly against our desire. But if we awaken it by ourselves in various means, like this exercise with the tens, we arrange such states that we ourselves awaken this state, then we gain a lot from it, because we're taking the path of Torah. We reach the state that needs to come anyways, a little faster.
The difference is in the feeling of the process that we go through. The goal is the same goal. When a force comes from above and awakens us, it doesn't feel so comfortable, but when we work between us, we reveal the oppositeness of form, how opposite we are from each other, how much our nature opposes, and we hate it or we resist it, then this is exactly how we hasten the process. It is less painful and more enjoyable.
If it comes from above without preparation, it's a blow. And if it comes after we've prepared ourselves, it's a blessing.
When it comes from above, we have no control over it. We didn't make any effort. We just coped with what came to us from above, like the will to receive copes with every blow that comes its way. But when you yourself awaken it, then we do it more accurately towards our spiritual advancement that we want to reach. It's the same old man walking bent over looking for deficiencies. This is work. It requires us to make a greater effort. It's either we're passive or active in this process.
The next degree,
except number 9, Rabash, they helped everyone his friend. It is written, one does not deliver oneself from imprisonment. Rather, it is one's friend who can lift his spirit. This means that one's friend raises him from his state into a state of liveliness. Then one begins to reacquire strength and confidence of life and wealth, and he begins as though his goal is now near him. It turns out that each and every one must be attentive and think how he can help his friend raise his spirit. Because in the matter of spirit, anyone can find any place in one's friend that he can feel.
I have to be on guard. How to give a good mood to all my friends? With this goal, I come to the 10 in the morning. I think in advance, how do I influence them? Can be without words, of course. How do I influence them? How do I want to influence them? How do I want to bestow to them awakening, uplifting spirits, a special mood ahead of our exalted goal? And I understand that if I think about them this way, if I would be talking to them, I would be awakening them. But what good does it do to me if I only think about it? As he writes, to think what he can do to his friend to raise his spirits. What good does it do to me if I only think about it? That's a question.
It helps me a lot. Because one, if Kabbalist says us, then we have to start doing and then we learn from it. Secondly, I don't have such quality anyway, but by making an effort and trying to serve the friends, then from above you get help. at the same moment you're in darkness, you are deficient, but when you start making movements for the friends, then the spirit of the society lifts us.
Yeah, the important thing is for me to express concern with words, without words. As long as in the heart I feel that I'm responsible for the friends, and I'm responsible for the friend's spirituality, and this concern will flow, will spread out and stick to everyone.
A good spirit for a friend is a 10 connecting together, which is closer to the center of the tent, to the connection between us. This is where we get uplifted spirit from. If I think about it, if I care for it, then on my part, I make sure that the tent will be connected, and then a friend, he is the one who gets the strength from it.
Yeah, essentially a person needs to feel that the entire system depends on him. And if he awakens it in thought, then he can charge the entire system.
And what helps him when he thinks about this is that truth is revealed, and when he sees that he's not in it, and when he makes a greater effort to think about it, then he also needs the help of the Creator, and so on and so forth. The light works on us and our thoughts begin to change.
Yeah, we have this toolkit with which we can take care of the task of life, mission of our life. And we call this thought, speech, and action. And the most powerful instrument or tool is the thought, there's no doubt. But if there is an opportunity, in any opportunity to also speak and also do, how can you not do it? If we lived in the world of thoughts, it's possible that thought would have been enough. But what can you do? We're in our world, and that's why every word, every uplifted spirit that we bring through our words, every concern that we give to the friends in practice, that we can show towards them, we do it. And has to be mutual. We have to communicate through these forms of expression. Rav, how not to forget that only when I help someone and someone helps me, we grow up. And we can sit for dozens of years, and if each one thinks of himself, even from within the 10, if he thinks that he is growing up, it will never help him to grow up. Rather, each shall help his friend only. To the extent that the friends think about me, that's how I will grow up. To the extent that I think about them, they will grow up. This is the Arvut in practice. How do we convince ourselves that this is the correct form of advancement, the only way that actually works?
Within man's nature, no one can think this way practically. We, from our will to receive, think only of ourselves, and we gotten used to think only of ourselves. But when we have a group of people, when we meet here every morning and we're working on it, to see the greatness of each other and to make an effort and to listen to Rav, read the books. So this is the environment and the society that works on a person and helps him change his natural pattern, so to speak.
Naturally, I think about myself. I need this example constantly. And a person joins only by education or by example. We need to give an example to each one. How should the society work? And out of that, a person feels the need to join and to give the spirit that he is also receiving.
I feel that we're privileged to enter a new era. It's not just something technical of random tens. Rather, it is a new stage in which the Creator starts carrying us in a new manner, teaching us how to build a wood between us. We saw that their friends who didn't come to the lesson today, it is in order to awaken us so that we will understand what a wood truly means. It's not just a corporal, a wood of some group where people take care of each other's corporally. We need to create a spiritual force, a spiritual arvut that will hold us throughout the day. This will be our concern. How do we make sure that the friends will always be connected?
Because the external change is not so significant. Because we're a random 10 that has to reach a greater connection. And the effort towards that is really for each one to try more and more to come out of himself and to think of the friends. Rav, how do we hold ourselves through the Arvut and the opinion of society? How do we hold ourselves in a state where we don't think that if we don't think of the success of one another, we're not aimed towards the goal? Only in the concern for the friend that he will reach the goal. We save ourselves from our current state. The Torah came to us to realize the Arvut. In the commitment towards Arvut, it was given, and it works inside the Arvut. So how? How do we sort out our thoughts and our desires so that only those that can be aimed for the benefit of the others, in order to push them to the goal, that only those thoughts and desires are called spiritual, and all the rest, it's corporeality. How do we think about it throughout the day until the unity event, and we will try to succeed in it through the correct connection?
We simply have to do this. Meaning, we have a very practical advice here to sort out those desires.
למען בית השם אלוקינו, אבק שטוב לך. למען בית השם אלוקינו, אבק שטוב לך. איי, 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 למען בית השם אלוקינו, אבק שטוב לך. למען בית השם אלוקינו, אבק שטוב לך. למען החי ורעי, למען החי ורעי, למען החי החי ורעי, עד אברן השלום בך. למען בית השם אלוקינו, אבק שטוב לך. למען בית השם אלוקינו, אבק שטוב לך. איי, 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 למען בית השם אלוקינו, אבק שטוב לך. למען בית השם אלוקינו, אבק שטוב לך.